My name is Mark Shaw, and I'm a pastor here on staff at Faith Church, and my primary faith assignment is to lead Vision of Hope as the executive director of that ministry. And we'll get started. Let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name. Lord, there is none like you. And as we come to this topic that is so prevalent in our own hearts and in our churches and in our society, we pray that we would handle your word of truth skillfully so that we can help those who struggle with this common problem of anger. Lord, be with us now. Open our eyes and ears to see and hear what the Holy Spirit would have us to know in your word. And it's through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the name of the workshop is How to Handle Anger Biblically. And again, I'm Mark Shaw, pastor here at Faith Church, executive director of Vision of Hope, and excited about that ministry and the young ladies I'm privileged to serve there. This is really a wonderful ministry. Let's get into the introduction of this workshop. This topic is so important, and one of the reasons is that sinful anger prevents intimacy and oneness in marriage. I mean, the majority of counseling that I've always done has been marriage counseling. And so it's important in that way. I'll tell you another thing, too, especially working with the young ladies we work with, a lack of marital harmony is often a number one reason to provoke kids to anger. It provokes them to anger. So this is an important topic for me as I deal with people who are very angry, right? I mean, addicts are so angry that they want to live out life on a grand scale in a way that just defies God and is rebellious. And then sinful anger, number two, is a primary hindrance to godly parenting, as we've talked about. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And number three, sinful anger robs God of the glory due his name and can result in significant judgment. Let's look at Numbers 20, 9 through 12. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." So even Moses had an anger problem that displeased God and robbed his glory. Well, we don't want to do that, do we? Sinful anger must be rooted out of the church. Wish I could tell you it's just not in the church, you know. We're anger-free, right? Anger-free zone. Anger-free. We have anger too. And I love Ephesians 4:31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." So this is a writing to the church, to the people of God, to put these things that we just read away. Get them out of the church so that we can live in a way that glorifies God and that people want to be a part of our church. I tease my children. I tease them because they really like the Duggar family. And maybe you don't like the Duggars. Maybe you don't know who they are, but they have all these children, 19 kids and counting. But what they like about it is they see these Duggars loving each other on TV. And they want to know them. Now, obviously, there's stuff cut out. We know they have conflict and problems in real life. But when you see it, and think about the church, think about that for us. If we model love, if we make it attractive to where people are seeing us love one another, they'll want to be part of our group. that they'll want to be. So this is why anger is such a big deal to root out of the church. Uncontrolled anger is frequently excused, right? Blame shifting. He makes me so angry, so afraid, so depressed, so fill in the blank. Can anyone make us? It's us, right? It's our heart, as we'll look at here in a minute. Or I'm a redhead. Or I'm Italian, I'm Irish, I'm this, I'm that. I had to get it off my chest. I just had to tell them. Which is a self-control issue. And this is just the way I am. And then number six, some people believe all anger is always sinful. And that's not true. All anger is not always sinful. A quote by Paul Tripp in Broken Down House says this: we all need to reevaluate how we think about the anger of God. Now think about the anger of God for a minute. Sometimes we treat God's anger like we treat the embarrassing uncle in our extended family. We work hard to keep this attribute of God away from public exposure. Are we worried about causing undue embarrassment to the family of faith? We act as if anger were the dark side of God's character that we need to keep hidden. You know, God's anger is always right, always just, always true. And so we don't need to apologize for God's anger. In fact, we need to point people to the sovereignty of God as creator and ruler of all things. He can do what he wants, right? He doesn't need our help or our so-called moral indignant decisions to do that. So we need to talk about God's anger in a righteous way. So let's define anger. Defining anger. Well, working definition is that it's a passionate, active, moral response of the entire person to a perceived wrong or injustice. It's designed by God to mobilize force, to direct energy towards solving a problem. All right? So it can be something that really helps us to destroy problems that need to be destroyed when it's righteous anger. The essential elements of anger, the first one is, it's passionate. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. And in the New Testament, orge denotes, on the one hand, a human passion. So it's passion, it's energy, directed to the right target. It can be righteous. And then another element is that it is active. Anger is active. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. In Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. It's a moral response is your third essential element, a moral response. And I do want to read the quote right above that in your notes. Our anger is an active response. It's an action, an activity. It's something we do, not something we have. I just want to camp out on this just for a minute, because this is a big deal to me when I talk about addictions. It's not a thing, a fluid, a force, the quote says. The Bible pictures people who do anger, not have anger. And so what you find is, just like with addiction, people think of this as something outside of themselves, some disease. And they divorce themselves from it, right? I had a counselee who had an anger problem, and he just said, well, yeah, that's my anger. You know, that's it's not me. It's my anger. It's like it's a puppy. Here, Snoopy. Here, anger. Here, anger. You know, it's as though it's a possession or a pet or something outside of themselves rather than them. And so you don't want to divorce them from their personal responsibility ever in counseling. You want to make sure that they understand the moral response here. And then Mark chapter 3, verse 5, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart,